We met online because she roasted the fuck out of me.
I like to party.
Oh, you showed her your boobs.
I did, yes. They used to love celebrity recaps. They're like, why don't you do those anymore? I'm like, because I'm friends with them all now. I'm just kidding.
What city's got the biggest fuckboys? Go do it. Go buy yourself that dildo you want to get.
Okay.
Or a handbag. Okay, controversial question. All right, welcome back, my loves. I hope you're feeling amazing. I hope you're ready to hit the ground running on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Today, we have a very special guest in. Her name is Tinks. How would you describe yourself?
I'm a content creator.
She's a content creator.
You're
more than that, though.
Yeah, I'm a content creator. I'm a writer. I give a lot of advice to my younger followers, especially girls. Comedian, a little bit of everything. I'm a one-woman circus. That's how I describe myself.
And actually, we met online because she roasted the fuck out of me.
You know, when I first started on TikTok, I was a little bit mean.
Yep.
And I think that it's very easy to be funny and mean, and it's harder to be funny and smart, and that's something that I've learned over the past year, because I've only been doing this for a year and a few months.
Really?
Now. Yeah. I started in May of 2020, so like I'm so brand new to this.
Oh, shit.
But I'm also older, so I come with a lot of wisdom from my past lives, but in terms of this digital world, I'm still so new to it. But so when I started, I didn't care. I was shooting blanks. Like, I was like, oh, like, I'm going to roast this celebrity. I'm going to roast that celebrity. And people, it resonated with people because I think people like the realness. But, you know, what I realized is you don't need to be mean. You can be smart and funny. Yeah. That's harder. But yeah, I roasted you.
You roasted me, then followed me, then unfollowed me, and then screenshotted the follow back.
Yeah.
And then roasted me about that. I was like, this bitch.
I know.
How dare you?
I had a lot of time on my hands. That was honestly, but you know what? You had such a good attitude about it, and you were so cool and so funny about it that I was like, this is a good guy.
Well, I thought it was funny because I was also being like an absolute brat in that time period. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm losing followers. I deserve all this. I was literally being like a reality TV, like, I'm entitled piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like I definitely needed someone to just roast me because I, like, especially a public figure. But what were we doing before May? Like,
I was a writer. I was like behind the scenes. I was like, I would help different companies with their social media. I was freelance writing, doing this and that, bits and bobs. I'd only lived in LA for half a year at that point. Before that, I was in New York.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I thought you'd been around since like...
I know.
The start of social media.
No, I know.
Because like I have people in my team, like older women, and they're just, oh my God, I love Tinks. Like, so excited about this episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I was thinking, damn, she must be around like 3 or 4 years.
No, I've had so many different lives. Like, my followers always say that to me. They're like, you have lived in so many different places. You've had so many different jobs. And I think that's partly why I have a unique perspective on so many things, and I can give advice. So,
And also, I think the biggest thing is I've noticed you've been at like a lot of very exclusive events as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that no matter the number, you're actually like a lot more influential than a lot of people with more followers and stuff like that. How do you go about that? Like, how do you become like extremely influential instead of like just an influencer?
I think I really have a point of view. I think that in the past, influencers have made the mistake of trying to get everybody to like them and trying to be... Here, it's two things. It's trying to get everybody to like them, and it's also trying to be perfect. And it's like, I have a very distinct point of view, but also I'm very real with my followers. So I show them when I look hot going to an event, and I also show them when I look beat to hell and I wake up and I'm hungover and I'm like, you know, I got too drunk last night or whatever. And I think that mix really resonates with people, especially women, because they're tired of seeing like the perfect bodies and like the women who are always like, I have my perfect boyfriend on my perfect vacation, and like, here's an Instagram of me in a bikini. Like, we're a little bit done with that era. We're ushering in a new era of influencers being more real and textured and showing every side of themselves. And I also think that I give a lot of like behind the scenes. I'm like, okay, guys, like, I'm so new to this. Like, this is what happens. And like, now I have a publicist, and that's what this looks like. And now I have an agent, and that's what this looks like. So Yeah.
Was it hard to try and configure like that whole period from like May? Was it, you're in the middle of quarantine when you
I was in the middle of quarantine. I was alone. I was living in a tiny studio apartment and I was so depressed. And I was like, I really like TikTok. I've never thought of myself as an on-camera person, but I was like, fuck it. I have nothing to lose. Like,
wow.
I made my first video and I was like, I was born to be an entertainer. This is what I was supposed to do. I'm going to make videos for the rest of my life.
Wow. Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. You just knew right away.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is I think that I'm hoping that I inspire, people younger than me. Like, you don't have to find your passion by the time you're 19. Mm. You know, you're very young. You're very lucky. That's great. But, like, I'm 31 now. When you I found are? My passion, uh-huh. I was 29. And it's not to say I didn't have amazing jobs and amazing times in my 20s, but I didn't find my true life's purpose until a bit later in life. So if I can inspire Damn. People to keep going, then that's a good thing.
Damn, that's awesome. Yeah, I...
What Harry means to say is, wow, you look amazing for 31.
No, I don't believe you're 31. No, also, if you saw our DMs as well, I've been trying to date her. I literally replied to TikTok. I was like, damn, I'd reply so much faster if we were dating.
No, but like, I... you're such a flirt. But that's why I also feel so protective over... Honestly, like all of my creator friends, even if I've never met them in person before, all the like TikTokers, like it's a crazy world. It's so fast. And I think about like how like insecure and like how little I knew when I was 20, for example. I think about all the people who are so famous. So that's why I'm like always so protective over the younger kids on TikTok.
Is there any like TikTok like people that you hang out with, or are you just...
I'm friendly with a lot of people on TikTok. Yeah. I love Tana. I just met her for the first time in person. She's so sweet.
Oh, you showed her your boobs.
I did. Well, yes, I did.
Why did you do that? Not me.
Okay. I went to the Rolling Stones on Sunday and something came over me when I was there. I was like, I just feel like I need to flash. You know, it's what Mick Jagger would want. It just was the vibe, you know? It's not something that I do often, but I just felt like I'm in a rock and roll concert and with these guys. And I was so inspired. I was crying at the concert because I was like, they're like 70 years old, just those guys. Crazy. They're just going crazy on stage. They're sexy. They still got it. And I was like, I'm going to flash my boobs. And then I just wouldn't stop all night. I like to party. I think that's the other thing is that like my followers, like I like to show them you can be both. You can get up early and work out and work your ass off. And then it's okay if you want to go let off steam. Like you don't have to be one thing. I think especially women in the public eye were boxed. Like it's like, oh, she's just the party girl. Oh, she's just the good girl. Or, oh, she's just this or that. I'm everything. Like one night I'm flashing my boobs and I'm getting up the next morning doing a 5-mile hike. I do it all.
What content does best for you as well? Like I know you say you do like the when you're not feeling your best and when you are feeling your best, like is there any content that is like that stands out for you that people love?
People love the rich moms, people love the like the skits, they love anything making fun of LA.
You
nailed it with that smoothie one.
The smoothie one got reposted a lot by some famous people. That was cool.
What was the smoothie one?
It was like what your smoothie says about you in LA.
Oh,
like
shit.
If you go to Creation or if you go to Earth Bar, whatever, because it is a crazy town that we live in and we forget, right? We're in this bubble, we think like this is normal, like we go to Erewhon every day and we go to all these clubs and whatever, but it's a strange, strange bubble that we live in. So anytime that I can kind of pull back the veil and show my followers like what it's really like, I think that they enjoy that. They used to love celebrity recaps. They're like, why don't you do those anymore? I'm like, because I'm friends with them all now.
It's hard. It's hard to roast your friends
as
well.
It's really hard. So now I'm like, there's no one left who I can, you know. And also, to go back to what I said before, I'm the first to admit that the past year has really changed my idea of like celebrity. Like I used to be that girl who would like read the tabloids and be like, oh, she looks bad. Or like, I hate that dress or whatever. Like, and now you realize, first of all, they're human beings. Second of all, they can't make a move without someone saying like, oh, you look bad.
Yeah.
Thirdly, you really don't know what it's like to have your picture taken of you all the time. Like I've had pictures of me sent like when I'm sitting hunched over, like eating a burrito and they're like, oh, I saw you. And I'm like, I look so bad. Like that's so embarrassing. Like, please don't tag that. So I just, you know, I've changed a lot in the sense of I used to be the first to be like, she looks so terrible. Like the celebrity is so lame, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, I don't really want to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I remember the exact same situation. I'm like, oh my God, that dude looks terrible or this and that. And then I remember I got one photo of me at the beach where I looked like a pale beluga whale. And I was like, that is embarrassing. I had like 40 chins. I was getting way too comfortable. I'm like, that sucks. Like, it really sucks to have like an ugly photo of you and then people like post that and use that. I'm like, oh.
Well, and it's like, you don't, like, listen, I'm not saying that I'm famous, but like, I definitely have a lot of people come up to me now, which I'm so like lucky and happy about. And it's like, you know, you can't control every situation. Like, every time like someone comes up to me, I'm worried that they didn't have a good experience. Like, if I was rushed or if I was on the phone, like, I don't want them to think I'm rude. And then you see all this stuff being, you know, all these stories like, oh, this celebrity was rude and whatever. And it's like, they might've been busy or whatever. Like, I just have a lot more context for that whole world now. And so my stance on all that has definitely changed. And that's not to say that I don't do fashion police. I think it's fun. Mm. Like, when there's an award show, to be like, this dress is cool. This dress is, you know, could have been better or whatever. But again, it's about being smart and funny and not mean and funny.
What's your biggest misconception with celebrities? Like, what do you think, I mean, the biggest misconception is?
For that I used to have with
them?
Yeah. I will go there because I've been thinking about this a lot. I think it's like the awful notion that like they knew what they were getting into, you know? And I think that it's like, you don't know what you're getting into. And it's, if you, I mean, I think the D'Amelio show really showed a lot of people this. It's like, you're doing your passion. You're doing something that you love. Why should you have to be trolled? Like, why do people think, oh, that's okay. Like, that's okay to be mean to people online. And like, I experience trolls a lot too. And most of the time I'm okay with it. But once in a while I'm like, oh my God, like, this hurts so bad. Like, I just, you know, you read something so mean about yourself and you're like, this is, why? Like, why should I have to be trolled at my job? Like, TikTok content creation is my job. And I explained this to my followers the other day. I was like, imagine that you go to your office and you're sitting at your desk trying to do your work. And then there's just someone behind you being like, you're ugly. You're ugly. You're ugly. Because that's what it's like for us. That's like, sucks. We're just at our job and there's someone being like, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb. And it's like, why is that part of the job?
Yeah. It doesn't. Harry yells that at me every day.
No.
You're ugly.
I come straight for you.
Yeah. So I think that that's it. I think I used to think like, well, everybody who's famous, like, they knew what they were getting into, like, with all the paparazzi and all the negativity and whatever. But it's like, that's not okay.
Do you think it's harder for you to date now as well, especially like?
100%.
Yeah?
100%.
Do you think dudes like try and use you and stuff?
I definitely think so. Yeah. In LA, I think it's tough because it's like on dating apps, they see my TikTok or my Instagram and either they think, ugh, like, this girl's an influencer, I want nothing to do with her. Mm. Or they think, oh, this girl's an influencer, can she do this and that for me, whatever. Yeah. I just find it harder to meet people organically and
Have you ever been out with a dude and he's like, oh, are you going to fucking roast me in one of your videos? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Am I just material for you?
Yeah, or they'll be like,
every time I ever dated a girl, she's always said that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I used to vlog a lot more. I don't really vlog as much, but guys would be like, and I would always nickname the guys I was dating in the vlog and be like, oh, you know, they were, and I've had a couple guys be like, what's my nickname going to be? What am I going to be in the vlog? And I was like,
that's exciting.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I don't know. But anyway, I'm focusing on work right now. Work is going really well. So I'm just going to focus on that. And I think everything sorts itself out.
How many times are you posting a day?
I really love posting on Instagram stories. I do like five minutes of content of Instagram stories and I post like two or three TikToks a day.
That's two or three a day?
Yeah. And then I have like other stuff that I'm working on too, but that's like my followers. I think the thing that's taken me by surprise is just how much I care about them and how much I love to just be with them and speak to them every day, like in my DMs, like answering advice. I love them. I love them so much. It's like the most important relationship to me right now. So I try to deliver a wide range of content and
Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Continuing to speak to my followers in a really meaningful way, but on new platforms, in new ways.
Do you think you'll ever be like on a stage? Like,
maybe.
Hey, I'm Tinks.
Maybe. How did that
name come about, by the way?
It's a nickname. I've been called Tinks for 20 years. It started when I was like 11.
So you have an actual name?
Christina.
Oh, that's so sexy.
Yeah. Only my lawyer calls me Christina. Wow. He's like, Christina. And I'm like, oh God, what have I done?
You don't
now?
Like it?
No, I do. I just like, when I was younger, I wasn't that confident. And so when I was like 10, 11, I was like, I have an alter ego and her name is Tinka. Tinks. And then it just stuck because I became this exaggerated version of myself.
Yeah.
And now it's just my name. I'm just Tinks.
Damn, that's wild. That's mm-hmm. sick. I would have never, my brain wasn't even fired up at 10, so mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine mm-hmm. being able to figure out an alter ego. My brain's still fucked. But for your, like, the young females listening and stuff like that, do you think there is a right way to go about social media or, like, getting involved in this space? Or do you have any advice for people that want to become the next influencer?
I think that being, like, having a point of view and being consistent are two very simple things that people are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you can actually do those two things, that'll massively help you.
Yeah.
Because consistency is key. You know, your followers, like, that's how you build trust with them. So I'd say that. And then, like, having a point of view and just doing it for you. Like, I think the second people start chasing views or yeah. chasing followers or chasing likes, like, I don't, like, I think that there's, like, the quality of a like. A like is not a like, as yeah. in you can do things to just get views and likes, but it's not going to be a real relationship with your followers. Like, you want to build it slowly and steadily so that a follower is a true fan of yours and a true, you know, they truly know who you are.
Yeah.
And then other than that, just know that so much on social media is fake. So be careful.
Do you find, like, speaking content does better? Because I know that there's, like, for Tana, for example, she's had a lot of, like, long form content online. And I think that's kind of where we've started to build, like, a real audience is by putting out long form content. I know you're, like, mainly on TikTok, but do you think that your speaking content, like, helped you get a little, be more influential, I guess?
I used to be a chunky little tub of lard, dude. Yeah. Now I'm fucking yoked, dude.
That's why we're back with our amazing sponsor, Noom.
Noom's fucking ride or die, dude.
Yeah, you guys have been writing in, telling us a little bit about your experiences with Noom, and you're saying it's working. So we're working, you're twerking. Let's go fucking crazy. If you're, look, it is coming into Christmas time.
Yeah.
We're getting worried.
Yeah.
This is the time where we pack on our weight.
Yeah.
Now we need to work harder on our diet to make mm-hmm. sure that we can afford to go a little bit crazy on Christmas. Psychology-based approach. So yeah, you can indulge whenever you want.
Don't let Christmas knock you off your game either. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I've had these fad diets. I've tried a bunch of different things, and then I have a cheat day, and yeah. then I'm off my game for, like, my cheat days turn to cheat months. That's never happened since I started using Noom.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a psychology-based approach. They know the ins and outs, and we're not trying to do a quick fad. We're not trying to make you go keto and fucking starve yourself for a month.
Yeah, no, this 75% of users finish it.
That's what we're saying. Which is crazy. Which is unheard of numbers.
Yeah.
So if you want to jump on, give Noom a crack, maybe, you know, you want to give it a go for a couple months over this period, try something different, try be a little bit more mindful of your health and wellness. Now is the time. It's your time. We're about to have a hot boy summer or a hot boy winter, you know, wherever you are in the world. We don't know. Mm-hmm. You're listening everywhere, which is awesome. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at noom.com/tapin. That's noom.com/tapin. Get excited, get horny, and get healthy.
Hell yes.
Yeah, you know what's difficult about this time of the year?
Busy. Got holidays,
busy
travel.
Boys.
Yeah.
People traveling, family coming.
Yeah.
People coming.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're coming. and we're all busy little sausages. So that's why we're brought in with
HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
There
Hell
you go.
Yes.
And what, it's 30% cheaper than normal groceries?
Yeah, it's like, even though they do the shopping for you and bring it to your house, it's still 30% cheaper in the grocery store. I don't know how they're doing that.
And, like, here's the thing. You have to think. You know, you want to impress the girl or you mm-hmm. want to impress the man, but you don't know how to cook. You don't know how to clean.
Yeah.
Maybe you do. Maybe you're just not good at it like myself. This comes in ready to roll, ready to rock and roll. You know exactly how to do it, how to make it. Easy to understand, easy to follow. And the process is super easy. And now you're a professional cook. You may as well be Gordon Ramsay.
50 different options, a bunch of add-ons. You get some tasty little treats, too. So it doesn't always have to be healthy. You can kind of treat yourself
you
a little
naughty.
Bit, too.
You can
go
naughty. Yeah. Naughty. But exactly. Here's the kicker. Here is the kicker. Because it is an amazing time of the year.
I've been doing it, and it's awesome. It's awesome.
It's incredible. But this is actually bizarre. I don't think we've ever had a deal this good. I'm not exaggerating. 14 free meals plus 3 free gifts. Like, what is going on, HelloFresh?
How do you get that?
Why are you being so generous? Go to HelloFresh.com/tapin14 and use code TAPIN14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. That is actually bizarre.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a lot of free shit.
That's crazy.
So if you want to give it a go, this is the only time I've ever seen a deal this good. And you can look good, feel good, eat better food, have a great time, be a professional chef, impress your parents, you know. Maybe post on TikTok and flex on people like me.
Yeah, up to 14 free meals.
That's bizarre. Three free gifts. Go to HelloFresh.com/tapin14 and use code TAPIN14. That's 1-4 for up to 14 free meals and three free gifts. Wow. Check it out. Go right now. Go crazy.
Totally, because I think especially at the time when I was starting TikTok, there wasn't a lot of the green screen starter packs. And again, I'm older, so I was like, I can speak more to my generation, millennials, and bring them into the fold more. And but yeah, I think speaking, I only do speaking content. You won't catch me dancing.
You wouldn't dance?
No.
What if we did it on mine?
I'm bad at dancing. I wish I was good.
I'm terrible too.
I'm so bad. It's my one dream that I wish I could dance or sing. So bad at either. But I think that's why I'm obsessed with watching dancing videos. I think they're so cool. I love watching them and I love going to concerts. I love musicians. but I can't sing. I'm tone deaf and I have 2 left feet, so.
No, I'm literally the worst.
You're good. I've seen
my
you dance.
Dances.
You've done some cute ones.
Are you crazy?
No, you have.
I literally look like I'm high when I try and dance.
You do a little bit of everything. You do a thirst trap now and then.
Actually, they don't do good for me.
Really?
Whenever I have my shirt off or try and be slutty on camera, does terrible.
I think it's because you have a good personality and you actually, people like to see you doing funny stuff.
Yeah.
So that's how you should, that's what you should do more of.
I found that putting text on the screen
does
the best for me, but I just try and do fuckboy quotes and then I'm like, why do I keep going down this route?
You know? Yeah, people love that with you, a cheeky fuckboy quote and then you winking or whatever. That is.
My first stuff when I started TikTok was so cringy.
Oh my God. But so I look bad. Back at this, the first stuff I did and I was like, I was kidding myself. What the F was I doing?
I feel like it's a building block, so you have to start somewhere.
And if you don't, and I always say this to my followers, if you're not cringing at yourself a year ago, you're not growing fast enough.
Wow.
That is such a good quote. You should look back and be like, oh my God, what was I wearing? What was I doing? Because if you're not, there's no growth.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to grow as humans. You're supposed to evolve. I'm literally a different person. I grow and grow and improve on myself. We all should be doing that. So I keep the videos up because I'm like, you know. It's exactly what you said. It's a building block. It's a stepping stone.
Well, I always delete the ones the that don't ones. Do well. Well, there's bad ones, but if they have views in them, I'm like, you know what? This is funny enough to watch back, but if it's doing terrible.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. One of the ones that I left up of the celebrity ones is a Kristen Stewart one.
Mm.
And I called her a bad name. I was like, I can't believe that she's going to portray Princess Diana. I'm from England originally. So I was like,
oh, that's right. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was like, I can't believe that they picked her to portray Princess Diana. And people were like, it did so well. It was a really good video. But a lot of people were like, you're going to see what a good actress she is. And now she's literally, all the reviews for this new movie are so good. So I'm like, really? Do I take that down? I don't know. But what business did I have saying that? I certainly can't.
Why? You were from England? What age did you move here? Sorry, I remember I heard that one time and I was like, no, she isn't. There's no way.
So I was born in Washington, D.C. and I moved to London when I was 6 months old. And then I lived in the U.K. London until 19. Then I moved to America for college. Then I lived in San Francisco for 4 years, New York for 2 years, and L.A. for 2 years. When I say I have dated fuckboys from coast to coast, this is what makes me qualified to give advice, okay?
But what about your accent? How did that change if you were from a kid to 19?
I had an accent. Well, my parents are American, but so I had an accent. But then when I moved to America, I used it to make all my friends, and then once I had them, I dropped the accent. Now I sound like a Valley girl.
You and 21 Savage are the...
Yeah, literally, me and him.
What city's best got the friends. Biggest fuckboys?
You know, they're different. In San Francisco, there are so many guys. There's, I think it's 20% girls and 80% guys. That's what it feels like.
Damn.
And so if you're a pretty girl in San Francisco, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's unbelievable. But they're all kind of have a chip on their shoulder because they're geeky and they weren't cool in high school. So that comes with its whole set of issues. New York, you've got your typical finance douchebags. You know, all they care about is money and partying and they're going to squeeze in a date with you, but it's going to be short and Yeah. And then in LA, you know, that you've got LA is the center of all fuckboy life because here's what I say about LA. Everybody in LA thinks they're 24. Whether you're an 18-year-old who just moved here and they want to be famous or you're a 55-year-old dude who's been on the club scene for 20 years, everybody thinks that they're 24. And I even feel a little bit of that. I'm very open about that. Like, you know, most of my friends from college and from home, whatever, they're starting to get married and settle down, whatever, and I still feel very, like, young and, like, I want to, you know, be out and whatever. That's the LA effect. So the LA fuckboy is very flaky.
Yep.
There's a lot of smoke and mirrors. So, like, maybe he has a nice car, but then you go back to his apartment and you're like, wait, aren't you 30? And why do you still live with 8 dudes? And why do you not have a bed frame? Like, that's the, but he has a G-Wagon. And you're like, why was this the financial choice you made?
I saw a quote. I was like, LA is the only city where someone will have a Ferrari and a roommate.
Exactly.
Literally me.
Yeah, literally you.
My best friend who lives with me, he's got 4 Rolls Royces.
Yeah, it's like, what the F? And people just spend so much money for show here. Yeah. Like, it's all about show. But, yeah.
How do you spot a, like,
how being do you in, how to trap a fuck boy?
Yeah, how do you figure it out? You're in L.A. Because I know, like, people always, when they start dating someone, they want to try and fix them or they want to help. Yeah. Or, like, I'll stop. I've had girls date me where they've been like, I'm going to stop you from, like, being a piece of shit.
Oh, my God. Like, that is, like, one of the number one DMs I get. Tanks, how can I trap this fuckboy? How can I change him? And I always say to them, could I tell you how to manipulate the fuck out of this dude? Yes, I could, okay? I'm a wizard. Of course I could tell you. I could tell you how to perform dark magic on this man. But is it worth your time?
Yeah.
No, because you know what? If you set out to make a plan to fix a dude, that is the least main character energy ever. You are literally, you are literally inserting yourself into his life and saying that his life is more important than yours and that you are going to spend the next 3 to 6 months trying to fix him. He's not a fucking house that you're going to gut and put a new coat of paint on it. He's a human being. Go find someone else. There's a million other dudes out there. Why, as you, as a girl, as a cool main character, are you going to spend your energy fixing him up?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a complete waste of time. So that's my whole message. And it's like, listen, I'm not man-hating. I love boys. I love, like, that's not the message at all. I just, like, want girls to spend time in a smart way. Yeah. Like, take that energy and go dancing with your friends. Take that energy and go work out. Take that energy and go level up in your job. Like, the whole fuckboy thing, it's an ego play, right? Because we see a fuckboy and we're like, I can be the one to change him. You know, all those other girls who ended in tears, like, they weren't smart enough, but I can change him. It's like, what? Is that a good use of our time? And trust me, I've done it. I've tried to tame, and I have tamed a few, but it's, you know, it's an empty chase.
What do you look for? Like, what do you think is a healthy way to look for in a guy or in a relationship?
I think always look for kindness. It's really important. It sounds so, like, basic and whatever, but you really need to look for a guy who's kind to his friends, to his family, to the people he works with. I think a guy who's ambitious, but not like boastful, you know?
Yeah.
And a guy who, you should always look for a guy who shows you how much he likes you, right? Like, talk is cheap. A guy can say, like, I'm going to do this and that for you. Like, I'm going to get you this. We're going to go here. But, like, does he show up for you? Does he remember, like, little things about your day? Does he call just to check in and see how you are? Like, look for that. Look for how a guy makes you feel.
Yeah.
You know? Not how he looks. Not if he can get you into the club. Like, how does he literally make you feel when you're with and without him? Like, are you anxious if you're not with him? Are you looking at your phone being like, oh my God, is he going to text me? Like, blah, blah, blah. Or do you feel, like, loved and confident?
Do you think sex is a fundamental part of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think sex is a super important way to get close to people. I think sex is great. I think people in the past have put too much weight on when you have sex. I don't really think that it matters that much. I think as long as you feel good and safe about it, you should do it when you want to. And this is, like, my box theory that I always say about. Okay, so this is my theory.
I've seen you talk about it, but I never got the full definition.
Okay, so box theory is that when a guy meets you in a romantic setting, he puts you in one of three boxes. Either he wants to date you, either he wants to hook up with you, or he wants nothing to do with you. Okay,
third.
third option.
No. What are you talking about?
Always,
what are you talking about? How did you know this?
Are so guys,
who told you the secrets?
Like, wow. Yeah. Wow. Guys are so triggered by this because it's true. So basically, if it's
can
the
we
third
cut
option,
the podcast yet?
They're like, edit that out. She's
telling
the secrets.
Thanks for coming on, Tink. Anything you want to plug? Yeah.
So if a guy wants nothing to do with you, okay, sorry, yeah. that one's out. If he, where girls get messed up is if she's in the hookup box, you could hold out, as in not sleep with him for months. It's not going to make him want to date you. It's just going to make him want to sleep with you more, okay? Yeah. And vice versa, if you are in the date box and you shag him on the first night, he's not going to care. He's going to be like, this is great. I like her even more, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Because they've made their decision about, you know, what they view you as. And then people say to me, well, Tinks, that puts all the power in the guy's hands. And I say, you're thinking about it the wrong way. What this should empower you to do is to sleep with a guy absolutely when you're ready.
Yeah.
And whenever you feel like it. Don't think, oh, the 3-date rule, oh, the 5-date rule. I have some friends in LA, they're crazy. They're like, I like a guy to buy me 5 dinners before I sleep with him. And I'm like, what arbitrary rules are these? Like, you're making up the most random rules. It's like, if you feel good about sleeping with a guy and you feel safe and ready to do it, go for it.
Yeah.
It's not going to make a difference. It's literally not. And it's like, it's the same thing back to the fuckboy trapping. It's like, how can I make him want to date me? It's like, why should you have to force someone? Why should you have to chase someone and manipulate them? It's like such a waste.
You know the average comforter? We call them doonas in Australia, but the average comforter farms 12 geese.
Really? I'm a vegetarian, so I can't.
And,
I can't.
And you have
that.
A geese farm.
And I have a geese farm.
Imagine how horrible that would be for your poor little geeseling.
Yeah, I know, dude.
But that's why we're here with Buffy, because they harm no geese. They only harm water bottles.
That's sick. So I know it's great that it's sustainable, that it's made by a water bottle, but is that comfortable though?
It is comfortable and it naturally suits skin. I swear on my mother's life, I have this on my bed right now. Great sleeps.
It's temperature controlled, right? You don't overheat.
It's legitimately very comfy. It feels like I'm sleeping in the Four Seasons Hotel.
Dude, that's awesome.
Which is amazing. So if you want to try something new, if you're feeling like, you know what, let's throw out this old crusty stain ridden.
Oh, they got 18,000 5-star reviews.
They do?
Yeah.
Damn, they're the people's champ. But if you want to throw out your old stain ridden, crusty, disgusting dorm room, give Buffy a shot. It's time to mix up. Spoil yourself.
Yeah. You know?
It's a time of giving, and no better person to give to than yourself.
Yep. So I agree.
For $20 off your Buffy comforter, visit buffy.co and enter the code TAPIN. Again, if you want to go have a better sleep, try something new, spoil yourself like you deserve, for $20 off your Buffy comforter, visit buffy.co and enter the code TAPIN sleep better.
And if you don't love it, you can return it at no cost.
There you go. Happy days. Sick. Hunky dory. I think for me, sex is such a fundamental part. Like, if I'm talking to a girl, I'm seeing her, and we're not, like, physically connecting, I'll probably just like completely just cut ties.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm shallow, but my top two love languages is physical touch.
Yeah.
So I need to have like quality time with someone and like touch them.
Yeah.
Because I feel like for me, that's how I show my affection.
Yeah.
What are your love languages?
Mine is acts of service, but the way that I interpret that is like
clean your toilet.
No.
Scrub your shoes.
It's like if they show up for me. Like I'm really about like if they'll like, will they come to an event with me that I have anxiety about? Or like, will they like remember to call me, or will they like be there for me? Like it's just like I'm very into action speak louder than words. And so that's how I interpret the love languages, is like if they show up for me, if they're loyal, if they like keep my secrets, if they are, you know, just support me.
Okay,
you
so know? I need to reply quicker.
So reply quicker.
Show up when we actually have a tequila date.
Yeah, when we actually have a margarita date.
So I was more nervous for that because I was like, you know what? That's why I stopped replying so we were talking a little bit and you got like the
Tesla tequila.
And I was like, oh, let's try it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I'm going to walk into a trap. She's going to be there. There's going to be like a camera crew. And I'm going to be the next like TikTok series where she's fully just like, Harry's a piece of shit.
Roasting you.
So that's why I was like, actually,
that's really funny.
I was so scared.
Oh my God. I would never do that. And also that Tesla tequila was like the most random thing that went viral for me. That was the biggest saga of my life. I bought this. So for everybody who doesn't know, Elon Musk made a tequila. It was like $250.
It's probably worth like $1,000 now.
Oh my God. It took so long to come. And literally my comments for actually 3 months were like, where's the tequila? Where's the tequila? Where's the tequila? And then it finally came and I was like, it's good, but it's not better than like 1942. It's like the same.
Really? It's just tequila.
It's just tequila in a bottle that only, no offense, a man would have designed because it's like a lightning bolt and it like detaches and you can't like put, you need a stand for it. And I'm like, a man did this. Like, what?
You can't put it anywhere?
It needs a stand. It looks like it's just so, it's so awkward. No, but it's just like, it's always falling over. I nearly dropped it. But anyway, I still have some, so you can come over for some shots sometime.
Damn. Yeah, because I've been seeing that. I was like, I wonder if it's actually good.
And then it's good, but it's like...
They should just stick to cars.
Yeah, just stick to cars. We don't need a tequila from you.
So how do you usually monetize your social media? Because I know you don't really... I haven't really seen you do too many like... Well, you're not very like pushy with shit. I know people like especially off reality TV shows, like, oh my God, try these earbuds. Earbuds that are fucking crazy. They're from China. They'll be there in 10 seconds.
Yeah. I have been really lucky with the brand deals that I've done because I think, again, me being a bit older and the fact that I worked in many different jobs in business before, I made the choice to just do bigger deals with brands that I absolutely love. And I've been really lucky to work with brands like Chipotle and Skims and Mini Cooper and like amazing, amazing brands.
Oh, shit, you went straight to the top. I'm over here. My first one was Fashion Nova.
Hey, we love Fashion Nova. It's, you know, it's a rite of passage in this town. But I also just felt like I was so raw with my followers. Like I am completely an open book with them that they would, and I do give quite a lot of recommendations. So if I ever promoted something that I didn't actually like, they would know.
Right.
I just like, which is like a good and a bad thing.
Well, is it hard to not like go for an easy paycheck and like have to kind of stand on two feet with like your backbone? Because
it's, yeah, I mean, I think it just forces me to work harder and work smarter and like make amazing partnerships with brands that I respect and adore. Because yeah, I mean, obviously it's very tempting to take a nice big check from a product that you've never tried. But like, again, my followers would call bullshit. They'd be like, Tinks, you don't use that makeup. Like we know that you don't use it. And so I love that I have such a close relationship with them and I love that they trust me. And like the second you break that trust, it's gone. And actually the things that I like doing most are like I'll find something random on Amazon and I'll do a video and like those are some of my most viral videos is me being like this slipper that I got on Amazon for $11 is so great, like that slipper sold out but I wasn't even a paid thing. But that's what I'm saying is like they know that they can trust me for good recommendations, so I can't lie to them.
Would you hit up a brand before you post something like, hey, I'm gonna post this?
Sometimes, but sometimes I just like to go back to the old days when I was just like running my mouth on the internet with no brand deal. You know what I mean? Like I'll just post it and it's like for example, on Sunday, those pants that I wore to the Rolling Stones were like literally $30 from Amazon and I posted them and that video did so well and everyone's like already tagging me in them. And I'm just like, that's so nice. Like to me, that's like just a nice moment on the internet where it's like, this is exactly what social media should be for. It's like me as a girl saying, you guys, like these pants fit fucking amazing. Go buy them. Go look hot. Have fun. Tag me if you get them. Like, you know, just for fun.
Well, it's also funny because like I've started buying clothes more.
Yeah.
And like my oh my God, what just happened? Influence of friends that just asked me, but they're like, oh, did they send it to you? I was like, and it's mind blowing the fact that I'm like,
spending money now. I know.
It's crazy. This like, again, this bubble that we're in where like everyone's just like, no, I'm entitled to this. I deserve this. It is bizarre. Especially
it's bizarre.
There's actually 16, 17 year olds out here that are like, I thought we're like 21 and they're just,
yeah.
I just couldn't imagine growing up in this environment. No, it's so bad.
That's again why I'm like, yeah. I mean, there's 16 year olds who think that they're 24. I'm telling you land at LA and they just like sprinkle some dust on you and everybody thinks they're 24. And I'm like, you're so entitled. Like, this is insane. And it's just like, yeah. I mean, for me also just like, I feel excited to buy things for myself because now for the first time in my life, like I have like a little bit of extra money to treat myself and stuff. So it's fun to buy it. Whereas I don't know, the whole free thing, like don't get me wrong. I fucking love free stuff, but like, But then it just gets complicated, you know?
I love spending money because I'm like, the more I put out, the more is going to come back in.
Yeah.
And it's also like, it's kind of like a reward. You're like, cool.
Totally. You're like, I worked hard. I can buy myself a treat. Like, I can get myself a cool bag or a car or something. Like, it's cool.
So if you're listening and you want to spoil yourself, go do it. Go buy yourself that dildo you want to get.
Okay.
Or a handbag.
I'm dead.
Sorry, I'm a piece of shit.
I feel like you low-key read like a lot of books.
I do.
Same.
I read a lot of books.
Huge book guy.
Really?
You got some book recommendations for us?
I don't know if you'd like the books that I'm a voracious reader. I always have been. I was an English major at Stanford. And
you went to university as well?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I have a master's degree too.
What?
I hate to say it though, because I have like this one group of trolls and they're like, Tinks, we get it. You went to Stanford. But like, I am really proud that I went to Stanford. So trolls suck on that.
So you don't regret going to university?
God, no. It was amazing. It was the best time of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Really?
I'm an idiot.
But it's not about that. It's not only about like learning. It's about making friendships. And, I really am. I've had 9 lives. Like, I've had so many different eras. And I absolutely loved it. It was so fun. And I learned so much. And I read a lot of books. So.
Hell yeah.
How many books are you reading a year? Or what's your favorite book, actually?
I read like a book a week.
A book a week?
Yeah. Because you know what? I have bad anxiety, and I actually find that reading and going on walks are the two things that make the biggest difference for me. Mm. And I just think that reading is like such an escape. It's such a break from this world, and it's definitely a break from the internet. And, you know, if you have anxiety, I think social media content creation can be a very stressful job. But yeah, I like reading a lot of autobiographies, like especially of famous women, because I feel like I learned so much from them. Like, I read Demi Moore's book, I read Diane von Furstenberg's autobiography, Issa Rae, Gabrielle Union has an amazing one. I just learned so much.
Yeah. Do you think there's like a schedule with your TikTok? Like, do you go, or like your social media, do you like, I'm gonna be on it for this many hours, or I'm gonna have this day off?
I have no boundaries, and I need to be better about it. I don't know how you are, but like, my screen time's 11 hours a day.
Yeah, mine's like,
it's awful. Up there. And sometimes I can like literally feel it having a negative impact on me. I'm like, put your phone down. Like, you don't need to be on the internet. But like, you can just always find something to do on your phone, and that's dangerous. And I need to be better, because it's the first thing that I check when I wake up and the last thing that I do before I go to sleep. And that's awful. But right now, I'm just at a time in my life where, like, my followers are the most important thing to me, and I just am working really hard, and I will sort it out eventually, but, yeah, I don't have any boundaries.
Yeah, no, I literally suck. I think the only time is when I'm on hikes, but even then I'm, like, texting or, like, checking comments or, like, going in, which is horrible. I think the best thing I've done the past couple of days is just turn it off
and totally
ghost it outside.
I went to a premiere on Monday night, and they like locked my phone
were you there? Which one was that?
Eternals.
I was there.
Oh, really?
It was nuts. I fell asleep twice though.
It was really nuts, and like, that red carpet was really chaotic, so I just like skipped it, because I was like, it was a lot.
There was so much going on.
There was so much going on, and I have a lot of social anxiety, actually. So I was like, I don't really know where to go. I'm just going to go in the movie and chill. And then they were like, it's not starting for an hour. And I was like, it's not starting for an hour. And then it's a 3-hour movie. And my phone is locked away.
Yeah.
And I just chilled with my friend. And it, honestly, it was so nice. We had a long catch up. And I was like, damn, it takes my phone literally being locked in a bag for me to have this conversation not distracted.
No, I was having anxiety at the fact that my phone was in the bag. I could feel it vibrating. I didn't turn it off.
Same.
So I was sitting there like trying to figure out how to turn it off. I set off the emergency alarm. So it started going crazy while I was in the crowd. I was like, fuck. So I just kept pushing the button on the side. Because I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my, there was like nonstop like notifications going through. And I'm in my head, I'm like, okay, my dick pic's leaked. Yeah. Someone's called me out on their story. Like, some shit's going down. Yeah. Like, what have I done?
Yeah.
Why have I locked this up? It's bizarre. I actually do have a phone addiction.
Yeah.
I think the first TV show I went on, it was when I started like getting into social media, and I started having nightmares.
No way.
On the show, because they take your phone away and like you can't like talk to your family and shit. So, and I swear to God, because we were away for 6 weeks, first couple weeks I was fine, but then like week 3, fully, it's probably gonna be way worse now, but I was fully like waking up in the middle of the night like, oh shit, my followers like dropped like X amount. Oh, yeah. People hate me now. Like I've disappeared. Like someone's called me out. And I was fully like fabricating situations. And it was actually bizarre the grip that it had on me at the time.
Yeah. No, it's a really deep addiction. Yeah. And I think it's because it feels like the internet moves so fast and it's like every second that you're not with your phone, like there is a lot happening. But you know what I'm realizing is like yes and no, because then when I took my phone out after the premiere and it had been locked away for like over 3 hours at that point, I was like, nothing bad happened. I didn't miss anything. Like all my notifications are still there. Like I need to do this more often. So I'm trying, but it's an addiction, man. It's a deep addiction. Yeah.
Were you addicted before me?
LOL. I don't know. What are we going to do? Should we go to phone rehab? Like,
I think they should. Well, actually, I think I'm going to go do like a retreat in December. Like,
nice.
Where they fully like take your phone away.
Yeah.
Like a 10-day.
Yeah. Have you? There's actually.
I signed up for that, but I got put on the wait list.
Oh, really? Have you heard of those silent retreats?
Yeah. I want to do that. I want to do something called Hoffman Process, which is in California.
Is that the breathing here?
That's the Hoffman method. Yeah. But the Hoffman Process is like a week thing where you give up your phone and you go and you do all these like lessons and classes and learn stuff. I'm very into that stuff. So I think it would be good for me. But I'm trying to do small things. Like I'm trying to leave my phone. If I hike with a friend, I'll be like, can you just bring your phone? I'm going to leave my phone in the car for a bit because it's like, it's not good for us.
I drive in the wilderness once a week and I leave my phone in the car.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good break.
I spend a whole day out there.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I think this day and age, it's so necessary to be able to give your brain time to think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing that attracted to me to one of my friends saying the silent retreat is how many times you actually get to sit down and like think. Talk to yourself and like think.
Totally.
And like, think about what's actually going on. And for me, like, I'm massive about self-reflecting.
Yeah.
Like if I go and do something embarrassing or if I go say something to a girl that I shouldn't have said or anything like that, I'll be at home like literally like staring at a wall till like 4 a.m. just like reflecting on that, like what the fuck is wrong with me? But I think that's why I'm blessed at night because my phone automatically goes to the bedtime thing.
Yeah.
Do you do that as well?
Yeah, I love that thing.
So like as soon as it's there, I don't get any notifications or anything like that. I'm just sitting there just like in my thoughts.
Yeah.
Just hating myself.
It's super important too because you have so much, especially like if you live in a city and you're on your phone, you have so much input. And you need time to sort out, like, wait, is this my thought or is this other people's thoughts?
Totally.
My brain that are bouncing around. You got to really get back to who you are. Like,
totally. And you have to process everything that you see. And, like, I don't know, for me, some of my best ideas are when I'm walking or when I'm in the shower or when I'm reading. And it's like, what's the common denominator there that I'm not on my phone? Damn. You know, because you're just being constantly bombarded with a notification, like, you know, a text, this or that. And it's like, you just need time to process and think. And that's where all my funniest ideas come from when I'm chilling without my phone. So I do need to be better. It's a deep addiction. I think that phones are, and social media is, it's going to be like cigarettes were for the generation before us,
for where
like our grandkids are going to be like, can you believe that granny and grandpa, like they used to just go on social media for 12 hours a day and they didn't know that it was melting their brain. Oh my God, they're so silly. And we're going to be like, because like we just
like mashed potatoes
you know, we're 12 hours a day. What, I don't even know, like, what do I do on there? It's, I need to get better. I definitely want to get better next year.
I need to
year.
Get one of those phone lock things from Universal.
Yeah.
Okay, controversial question. Do you believe in star signs?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
What star sign do you think I am?
An Aries.
No.
Oh, what are you?
Gemini.
Oh,
I'm a piece of shit. That's what everyone says.
No, but actually, so it's really funny you ask because last night there's this app called The Pattern, and it's like even more.
I'm afraid to download that.
Yeah, it's very in depth. It's not just like CoStar. It's like your birth time, and it gives you all these readings. And last night, me and a few friends were lucky enough to have dinner with the founder, and she did our birth chart readings, and like it was so accurate. It was scary.
Really?
Yeah. She was like, and I took three guys because I wanted to test. Like I was interested to see, you know, what they thought of all this astrology stuff. They loved it. It was all so true.
It was spot on?
Mm-hmm. You need to download The Pattern. Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of it because apparently it tells you when you're about to feel sad or like whatever's going on.
It's very, very in depth. It's not just like, you're going to have a good month. It's like someone is coming to your life or this is this and that. Like,
how do they know this stuff?
Or I don't know. I just download the app. It's amazing.
I want to talk to the founder.
You should. You should reach out to her. She's cool. She's really cool.
How did
she was like, she sat with an astrologer for like 7 years and learned everything that there was.
It's a long time to sit down.
Yeah, because
did she have a sore bum after that?
She had a very sore bum, but she's really cool, and she just has a massive knowledge. And it's not about like, oh, like, as you know, it's not about like predicting things, but it's about like knowing different parts of yourself and like what to look out for. So it's more about self-reflection, which you honestly might like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But what is, okay, what's that sign of you there?
I'm a Virgo. But she told me last night that it's not really about like your main one. It's about like your moon and like all these other ones rising. Like there's all these different ones.
Fuck, this is so stressful.
You know on TikTok how they're always commenting like what are your big three, or like what are this and that? Like, yeah. That's because Gen Z, you're Gen Z, like they're also obsessed with like the in-depth astrology. Right. It's not just about like, oh, you're a Gemini.
I've like had girls like go through my course saying like, oh, your rising is this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what are you saying? Like, I know I'm a Gemini. I know I'm a bad guy. Like, first time I come to LA, I was at EP and LP.
Mm-hmm.
I was with all my friends, like a bunch of just dumb Australians like getting lit.
Yeah.
This girl walks up to me. She goes, what's your star sign? And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm a Gemini, I think. Mm-hmm. And she's like, could have guessed, walked away. And I was like,
and that's LA for you.
So I was just sitting there. I was like, wow, what is like, did I murder someone? Like,
yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you're two-faced. I was like, I know when I get hangry, like I'm a different person. And then when I'm like, not hungry.
I would be really interested to see what your rising sign is, because just because you're main Gemini doesn't mean that that's actually like.
I think my rising is the best one.
What is it?
Just the best.
Okay.
Yeah. Like literally just an angel.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
What's the favorite? What's your favorite? What are you?
I'm a Virgo, and but I have Gemini in me. So she was saying last night, like one of my moons is in Gemini.
I was about to make a terrible joke.
What? I know. I know. I walked right into that.
Yeah. I was like, wow. Sorry.
But she said that Gemini, I have a little bit of that because I'm very playful and I do love to party. And she was like, that's why you keep going for younger guys.
Oh, really? What's your age there?
I've like the last few guys I've dated have been a little younger. And she's like, because you love like playful people and you're really goofy actually. And you like that whole energy, but you actually need an older guy. That's what she's been listening.
I know a goofy younger guy.
Yeah, same. I know. I know a tall one. And I know an older guy as well. You can have two for one.
Oh, my God. Next question.
Okay. Tinks, what advice would you give for a young Tinks? A young Tinks that's gone through life struggling, dealing with fuckboys, dealing with all that life has thrown at them. What could you, like, looking back 10, 15 years, what would you say to yourself?
I would just say stop worrying so much. Like, everything happens for a reason. All of these, like, corny phrases, they're actually true. That's what you realize when you're older. I would say comparison is the thief of joy. So stop comparing your life and yourself to other people, whether it's your friends or on the internet. Like, it's just not worth it, and have fun, and stop over tweezing your eyebrows.
Oh. And anything you want to plug?
Follow me at Tinks on TikTok, at It's Me Tinks on Instagram, and I love all my followers very much.
Oh, what a little angel. Please go show us some love. If you did enjoy this episode, drop 5 stars and a nice comment, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks.